Welcome to episode 191 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. In this week's show, I'm sharing a few thoughts recorded on a recent trip into the woods. Now, on the day in question, one set aside for filming, writing and gear testing, things had not exactly been going to plan. Call it the curse of Friday the 13th, if you will, but sometimes you just have to shrug off setbacks whilst on location and make the most of your situation. With events fresh on my mind, I decided to talk through a number of things, including a forthcoming video series and also a series of photo advice features. So, welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 191. It's just after 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and as I record this, it is Friday the 13th. And would you believe, I'm not overly superstitious, but my plans for today have not gone quite as I had expected. Nothing dramatic, touch wood, but it's just been one of those days where what I set out to achieve hasn't quite happened. The day, of course, is not over yet, and I can still make steps to achieve certainly some of what I was hoping to do. So I thought what I'd do is talk about what's happened today and put it in the context of where I am right now. So as I record this, I'm in the middle of a woodland, and I'm lying in a hammock. Like I say, it's around about 2 o'clock. The sun is slowly but surely dropping lower and lower. I can feel that the temperature is dropping as well. The wind has got up a little bit. You might be able to hear that. But the reason for being out here was, well, there are multiple reasons, and it all ties in with just generally various activities that I have. So partially it's to do with my writing and photography activities, partially it's to do with The Active Photographer, and partially it was to do with just me needing to have a bit of a change of scenery. So I've had a bit of a busy week again. It's a Friday, as I say, as I record this, and the day before last I was up in London. I was there late doing a shoot, and so came back, and then the next day I was out of the office, so I didn't get anything done. So I was thinking, right, today the pictures from that shoot, that they're not dead urgent, they need to be turned around fairly quickly, but I'm going to have to liaise with some people in order to get a few things put in place, which means that realistically the pictures wouldn't find their way to the client even if they're finished and edited today. They wouldn't find their way to the client probably until about maybe Thursday or Friday next week, possibly. So I put those on the back burner, and I thought, right, I've been rushing around and I've had days where I've been in the office and all this sort of thing. I'm going to come out into the woodland, I'm going to bring my laptop, I'm going to sit down and work on some articles. I've got 6 outstanding articles to write, centred around photography, and the deadline is in probably just over a week's time. So quite a lot still to do on that. The other thing, of course, is, as I mentioned, I'm lying in a hammock in the middle of a woodland. I didn't have to do that, but there are a number of reasons there. One, I've had this hammock for some time now and just haven't managed to get round to trying it out and what have you. The reason I bought it, A, because, do you know what, I fancy trying a hammock. I'd never slept or camped in a hammock before. And B, if I said A, or did I say one? I don't know. Anyway, I decided that through the autumn and winter. I love camping, as you know. I love camping using a bivy and tarp. I love being in a tent, all that sort of thing. But I wanted to see how I could use a hammock in the course of my activities. Now, today is a pretty good example, actually. It poured with rain this morning. Now, as I lie here, I'm looking up at the sky, and it is absolutely beautiful blue sky. Some puffy white clouds. I don't know if rain is due, maybe later this evening, something like that. But as I lie here, it is just fantastic. Lovely, lovely autumn day. But of course, where we had all the rain, the ground is really damp. It's all drained quite well, actually, but it's quite damp. And where the sun doesn't get right through into this part of the woodland, you see it sort of obviously bouncing around all the trees here, but the ground is just the odd pool of light. So the ground doesn't really dry out this time of year if it's been raining a lot. So I thought what I'm going to do is I'm going to take myself up off the ground so that I stay dry. Should keep me a bit warmer because haven't got the cold from the ground. Even if I'm just sat there on I've got an old Thermarest sit mat. And in fact, hang on a second, because I'm using it at the moment just for a bit of insulation. It's the light seat, is what they've always called it, I think. It's only quite small, but it does make a difference. In fact, I can just notice, having moved it from behind my posterior and my back, it's made a real difference. So, so I would normally sit on something like that on the ground, and it's fine, but where the temperature is starting to drop, I'm thinking, do you know what? Let's try and experiment with the comfort a little bit. So, that was that. The way that my morning went, when I come out into the woods to write or what have you, I always like to have a full day of it. Now, in the summer, it's fine because the days are long and hot, and it's, you know, the light, it's still light at 10 at night and all this sort of thing. This time of year, realistically, I'm looking at maybe an hour and a half most before it really starts to get dark, and especially being in the woodlands, it's going to get darker quicker where the sun doesn't come through the trees. So I didn't manage to get away as early as I wanted. It was basically 20 past 11 by the time I headed out, so I thought, I just really needed a change of scenery, just to, you know, it does sound a bit hippie-ish, I suppose, but I just wanted to connect with nature a little bit again. You know, I work in the outdoors. I need to be surrounded by the outdoors. I need to get my fix, you know, especially when I have such busy weeks. And I thought what I'll do is I will film just some behind the scenes as I go along, put together a little, maybe, I don't know, 2-3 minute video for the YouTube channel. And what I always used to use for that was a Canon G9, or a PowerShot G9, which was a great little point-and-shoot camera. It did up to 1024 video. Now, of course, now we used to, as well as all the 720, you've got 1080, and you've got high def, and you've got 4K coming through as well, and all this sort of thing. Anyway, that camera has been sort of retired, really. It's especially anything over, those of you that remember them, anything over about just below sort of ISO 400, the noise, the digital noise, was so noticeable in stills and in videos. So certainly in sort of like in a woodland, you know, it's really not such an option. And also, I want to be shooting a minimum of 1080p now. It's kind of what people are expecting. Anyway, I dragged out my old Kodak ZX5, which is a weatherproof, shockproof, waterproof video camera. The stills aren't very good, but I dragged that out again, and it's okay. You guys have probably seen some of the videos that's shot on it, and you may not have realized it's pretty good. Anyway, I think now the battery is starting to get to a point where it doesn't quite hold its charge as well as it used to, which is fine, because this thing, it was given to me for review. It you know, it's done very, very well. But it's not ideal. And so I've been looking at a replacement, and I think I've decided on a Canon PowerShot G7X. If any of you use them or know of any feedback on them, please let me know. I'm going on the fact that I've seen the results from them and people's videos and what have you, and the quality is so good that yes, I could look at all the many cameras on the market and I could do a comparison and like for like and all that sort of thing. But I can see that the quality is there. I can see that it fits in with the remit of what I would need it to do. So why shop around if I know that that's what I'm after? So that is probably going to be my next step in terms of behind the scenes stuff. So the point being Friday the 13th, so my day was off to a slow start, a delayed start. Then as I shot some video of me walking around and you know, going along the paths and all the rest of it, and I sort of set up the hammock and everything and did a little bit of filming, checked the battery and it's right down low, and I thought typically, okay, so what do I carry on filming and then probably find that I can't finish it off because there's no battery, or do I just try recording as well? You're just carrying on. Anyway, what I've decided to do, for various factors, due to the light and my time constraints today and the fact that I've got to be other places as well, I thought, do you know what? I'm going to just knock it on the head and I will have another go another day. Like I say, this is the first time out for the hammock. Those of you that want to know, this hammock is made by a company called Tenth Wonder. They're a very, very small company here in the UK. If you've seen my green tarp that I've shared pictures of, or you've seen it in videos, that's made by them as well. That particular one is a very lightweight, it's 325 gram ripstop material. Very, very nice little tarp. I don't think they make it now, but other manufacturers make very similar things as well. So I thought I'd try out this hammock setup because I haven't, like I say, I haven't used it before now. And I know a lot of you are interested in hammock camping, and I'm kind of new to it, I must admit. There seems to be a lot of popularity in it at the moment. It's sort of got more popular in recent months or this year. Just a couple of links for you. If you're interested in researching and looking into it, there is a guy on YouTube called Sean Emery, goes by the name of Shug Emery, S-H-U-G-E-M-E-R-Y. He is very good. He's very amusing and he knows his stuff. So check out his videos. I will put a link to all of this stuff in the show notes. There's also a book called The Ultimate Hang. And I can't remember Derek something or other. Again, I'll link to it, but I can't remember. It is basically the Bible for hammock camping. If you're a complete novice, it's brilliant. It's illustrated throughout. The guy wrote it and illustrated it, and it's brilliant. So that's worth a look. DD Hammocks here in the UK are fantastic if you want hammocks, tarps, all that sort of thing. So to go back to my setup here, I've got this Tenth Wonder hammock, but it's actually got sort of straps or lines that come out from the hammock, which you would tie around the tree and what have you. My plan is to replace those. I just haven't got around to it. What you normally have is on the tree, you'll have a way to fasten the hammock, obviously, to the tree. A lot of people use what's known as tree huggers, which are straps that wrap around a tree. You put a carabiner through two loops to secure it. And then onto the carabiner, you attach your hammock via some sort of a line. Now, there's obviously the ones that are pre-attached to this hammock, or what I'm going to switch out for, and I've already got them, I just haven't, like I say, got around to doing it. I've got what's known as whoopee slings. And they are basically, the simple way to explain it is, if I now wanted to adjust the height that this hammock is hanging, I'm going to have to get out, untie knots, retie them, check it's all okay. And if the weather's, you know, if it's terrible weather and I need to all of a sudden, it's, you know, your hands are cold and wet and all the rest of it. With whoopee slings, it works on a constriction line theory, in that when you sit in the hammock and you put, you know, obviously you're putting pressure on the line, it locks them. And then when that weight is taken off, you can easily slide them along and adjust them. One line passes through the middle of another. It's very clever. So today I was going to do that with the whoopee slings thing. And it's the first time I got the hammock out, and it's not quite that simple. I'm going to have to re-thread the slings and this, that and the other. So I'm going to sort of come back another day. Once I've got everything set up as I want, I will do the video. I say better. It was nice footage, but I will have another bash, and you never know, it might even be shot on the Canon if I get round to getting one of those by that time. So that was that. So like I say, the plan today had been to be here, have some lunch. I've got a not often I'll bring a little stove and what have you, but I actually decided just to make a small flask of soup. And I've got, does it have a model number or anything on it? No, I've actually just got like a Berghaus food flask here. And it's got a cap on the top you unscrew, and it's got a spoon in there. And it just keeps things hot or cold or what have you. It's really, really good. So I had that. I've got a cup of tea on the go, of course. I brought my D800 and 35mm lens, but haven't really got to shooting any pictures. Not such a priority today. I could of course be shooting the video on my D800, but okay, those of you that are regular followers will know that I recently put out a question as to how you guys and people, just this was targeted at the public as well, not just followers of The Active Photographer, how you guys consume your content online. Do you prefer written articles or videos or podcasts, for example? And so I got some really good feedback, and I think I mentioned this in might have mentioned it in last week's show. It appears that a great majority of people really want to see more videos, podcasts, and written articles are still popular, but you have to be, you know, it's got to be suitable for what your lifestyle is. So a lot of people that listen to this podcast, they are commuters, or they go for a bike ride at the weekend, and they like to catch up on podcasts at that time or what have you. So, you know, I'm keen to kind of push the video thing a bit more. And I've got plenty of ideas, and I've got plenty of ideas that are just waiting to be acted upon. So I've lost my train of thought now, but so the video side of thing, that's, you know, going to have to wait till another day for this particular setup. Like I said, I could have shot on the D800, but I just wanted it more. That's it. You guys, the feedback was you like the kind of like really like not up close and personal, but the kind of, you know, handheld kind of thing, rather than guy sitting in front of camera talking to camera, da da da, very static. So that's that. The other thing that has happened today is I thought, you know what, okay, things haven't quite gone to plan, I'm just going to relax a little bit, get on with some work in a minute, but I'm going to record my audio. And sure enough, I happened to glance down at the readout on the audio recorder, and it ran out of space on the memory card. Where I've been so busy rushing around, I haven't got to formatting the card clearly recently enough, and it recorded about 8 minutes or so and then just stopped. So this is actually my second go, which is, I just think this is all quite funny, because, you know, it's Friday the 13th. If you're superstitious, then there you go, there's all these things that haven't quite gone to plan. If you're not superstitious, well then it's just stuff happens, doesn't it? But there we go. So But I just wanted to kind of give you a bit of an overview, because I know that more and more and more, you guys obviously love the photography side of things. But you know, you're really keen on the outdoors. So, for example, there's people that I know listen to this podcast primarily for the outdoors side of things, and, you know, obviously wanting to know how to take better pictures when you're out there and what have you, which is great. But the reality is, I wanted to record some audio today just to give you an update on a few things, and that's what I'm doing. So, what more can I tell you? If you want to know about the other kit that I've brought along for today, okay, so I'm lying in my hammock here, a short distance above the ground, and I've got a ground sheet, just my usual ground sheet that you will have heard me talk about or seen, that I use with my tarp. That's there just with my bag on to keep it off the damp ground. The bag is a 40-litre backpack, or rucksack, as we would say more so over here. And in there, I've got my, as I say, my Nikon D800 with a 35mm lens. I've got, what else here? A little Manfrotto tripod, like small sort of portable tripod. I've got a flask for food, as I say. I've got a flask of hot water, a tin here with tea bags and spoons and what have you. I said before, I've got my laptop. What else have I got in here? Oops. Oh, yeah, I've got my first aid kit, my personal first aid kit. I take that everywhere just in case, you know, I tripped, cut myself, or got a splinter, or needed to bandage my arm or something. Not what have you. Always take that with me. I've got my tarp is in my bag. I didn't bother to set it up because it just looks so clear in the sky now. There was no point. If it started clouding over, I might have done. So that's that. I've also got with me a poncho, which is has been sent to me by my friends at Paramo, who wanted me to do a test review on it. I thought I might have needed that, but the if I'd set out earlier, you see, I would have been using it to test it. But where it's so fine, I haven't needed to. So that stayed in my bag. Woolly hat, gloves, obviously. What else have I got here? Audio recorder, obviously. That's pretty much it. And then it's just the hammock stuff. I've got a couple of walking poles, because if the rain had been you know, that heavy and what have you, I might have changed the configuration of my setup here. I might have done away with the... well, I would have had a number of options. I could have left the hammock hanging, have a tarp over the top, and it would be great. Or I could have taken the hammock away and just used a different configuration to give me more shelter from the rain. So typically I'll set the tarp up almost like a like an A-frame design, but like, if you imagine, think of a letter A, a capital letter A. If you pull the bottoms, the feet of the A, if you pull those outwards, obviously it becomes more shallow triangle shape. That's what I tend to do when I'm just sat on the ground, just, you know, having lunch or what have you. If I'm camping out, I would probably make it a more acute, sort of sharper triangle, just to give a bit more shelter from the wind and what have you. But if the rain was absolutely lashing down, if it and the wind was blowing, if it had been that bad, I would have maybe gone to something like a pyramid formation or half pyramid, so the sides kind of come in, so it's a bit more enclosed. Anyway, that is pretty much everything in my bag today. Like I say, it's just a 40-litre bag. It's nothing. Yeah, you know, I don't need loads today. I can see as I lie here that the sun is now... Let's just sit up for a second. Yeah, it's almost... Yeah, it's below the canopy line now. So what's the time? My fingers are starting to get cold, actually. We are at... Oh, it was about 2:30? Yeah. So realistically, 3 o'clock, quarter past, half past three, it's going to be getting that much darker, just generally that much colder. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to pack up. I'll finish my tea, of course. pack up and then make my way out. And I've got commitments later this evening, so I will most likely get back, unpack all of this, see what time is left, and I might get back to doing some writing. As for this weekend, like I said, as I record this, tomorrow is going to be a day where I don't know yet, if I'm honest. I might split it, I might do some writing, and might do some, writing, and might do some editing. Oh, that reminds me, actually, because a lot of you follow my writing activity as well. If I can, I've got my phone here, and I've turned all the, I've put it on flight mode, so you shouldn't have any buzzing from internet signals or anything like that. So apologies if it does make a buzzing interference noise. Just to give you an idea, without going into too much detail, because I can't divulge too much at the moment, some articles that you might be interested in, which are to do with photography. Let's just see if I can zoom in here on my phone. There's a piece which will be about to do with accessories. Everything from support for your camera to how you carry your camera equipment. Stuff to do with close-up photography. Something to do with wildlife photography. That might interest some of you. With the winter on the horizon, I'm also going to be writing about considerations for poor weather, that sort of thing. And yeah, just generally, you know, how are you using photography to capture your antics yourself in the great outdoors? That's what it's all about, right? We like to record and document what we're up to. So there we go. I think that pretty much draws to a conclusion today's recording. Bit of a more general one, I guess, in that sense. But, you know, as I always say, the active photographer is all about behind the scenes day to day of what I do. So if I have a day where things don't quite go to plan, but I think it's something that's worth sharing, then of course I will share with you. But you know, there's stuff in there as well, talking about cameras and and various technique and what have you. If you've got any questions, of course, do let me know. But if you've got anything specific to taking pictures in woodlands or getting outdoors into the woodland, what you might pack, or if you've got a question about whether you think something is worth looking at or considering or anything like that, do let me know, because you know that's what I'm here for, is just to answer questions and to share my experiences with you. And if I can tailor that, I'm always looking to tailor it to be something that is beneficial to you. Oh, and that reminds me, and I really will finish in a moment, excuse me. I recently came across an old camera of mine, an old film camera, which I'd had in an attic, and I hadn't looked at it for a good while. I've never shot on it, but this camera is 50 years old. It's a Canon rangefinder camera. And look, I'm as geeky as the next guy when it comes to my love of photography. And I have decided that I'm going to experiment with this camera, see what it's like, see if I can... I've seen results from other people that are shooting on these same model of cameras. And I want to see how I can make it work for me. And so I'm thinking that I might turn it into a video series. If that is something that you'd be interested, give me some feedback in the usual ways, because it would likely take into account the film that I'll be shooting, well, putting in it, will probably be, in the first instance, will be colour, but I may well go for black and white, and for a number of reasons. I won't tell you too much information at the moment, but one of the things that I may well do is process that black and white film. And so that will be on video, and I'll talk through maybe on the podcast as well. Because vintage cameras and you know, that sort of thing, people still love the old techniques, and people really like vintage cameras. You know, for those of you who haven't tweaked yet, if you look at a load of the filters that you can put on your iPhone and similar pictures, a lot of the stuff is very, like, borrowed from the fact that a lot of these cameras weren't finessed. There were kind of the edges were soft, and the contrast was very, well, contrasty or what have you. But, you know, if you can get it on these old cameras, genuine contrast and what have you, and genuine vignetting and soft edges, what have you, that's fantastic. I'm really excited to kind of experiment. The first thing that I will need to do is do a test roll. I'm going to see if I can document... I'm going to see if I can document the process on video, I think. So I think it could be fun. But the first thing I've got to do is, when you look inside, those of you, a lot of you probably have never shot on film cameras, and you probably wouldn't know what I mean. But you have to keep the film in the camera light tight. And so you have a foam, like, sort of panels inside the back door that opens on the camera, and that stops light leaking in. Well, when you get these really old cameras, and a lot of them come from charity shops or just from sort of people find them in their attics and, you know, get rid of them, give them to charity shops, all this sort of thing, the foam has broken down, so it's all a bit gummy and a little bit sort of like bitty and what have you. So what I'm going to do is, I am almost certain that I'm going to have to replace that foam, which is fine. But what I'm going to do is, I'm going to put just a bog standard roll of colour film, probably 24 exposures through that, just going to shoot anything, you know, and throw that at the processing lab, probably just a high street one. Get it done on a 1 hour turnaround, and then maybe talk about the results. And I would expect that light is going to be leaking in through the back of the camera. It's not enough that it's going to be terrible, I would imagine, but just enough that you think, okay, so is it arty? Is it something I want to keep, or shall I actually repair this and make sure it's, you know, as nice as it could be? Because the lens is lovely and clean, it's lovely and sharp and crisp looking. So, but there we go. So that's just another thing. But the point being, this whole process, I'm going to be shooting pictures ultimately that are centered around the outdoors. So you won't get bowls of fruit from me. Okay. Unless it was a test shot before I get onto the real stuff, you know. So there we go. So I'm keeping it fresh, as it were, you know, keeping myself inspired. And, you know, I was sat there this last few evenings looking at pages on my phone on the web and seeing what other people have been doing and their opinions of the camera and all this sort of thing. And I'm quite excited to see how that goes. So there we go. I really am going to wrap things up now, because if for no other reason, I'm really starting to get a little bit chilly now where the temperature's dropping. So like I say, if you've got any questions at all, do let me know. But for now, I will leave it there. I'm glad to say I was able to follow up that little trip over the weekend and keep things on track as I'd hoped. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.